In verse number 1, and y'all pray that God's will be done in the message. He'd give us utterance. The devil's a liar. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that. Somebody needs to hear he's a liar. He's telling you something right now. He's lying. Amen. How you know he's lying? His lips is moving.
That's right.
He'll take you to in the opposite direction of this Bible. The Lord does not plant seed of thought in our mind that goes against His Word. Never has, nor He never will. Are you listening to me? So if the thought is taking you out of the being filled with the Spirit of God and trying to rob your joy, the devil's involved. Our flesh is involved. And the world's involved. And I want to notice this in Daniel 1, the last Sunday of the year, I really was praying and asking the Lord and thinking about a message for the final Sunday morning. And of course, whatever God said would have been in order. We know that. But to try to encourage us and also, I guess for lack of better words, provoke us to want to do more and do better this coming year. And I'm not talking about resolutions. Go ahead and resolve. Resolve and resolution is not the same thing. But we see a man, a young man, in the Word of God that was taken away from his family, taken away from the place of comfort, because of a nation's sin, by the way. Because of a rebellious people. A lot of young people got carried away into captivity. They were taken into Nebuchadnezzar's place, and he was going to deprogram them and reprogram them. That was his thought, and that was his idea. Now, I know I shouldn't be silent where the Bible's silent, and I think it will be, but the Lord points out four of these. There were many that were brought in to learn the ways of the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, to learn to idol worship, but they had to have a certain criteria. They had to be intelligent, had to look right. Folks, even the devil has standards. Some of y'all get that next year. Don't let the devil have higher standards than you. But however, the Lord points out these. Let's read. The Bible says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave. Now, the Lord's involved in this. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his gods, little g. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Folks, this is something God is involved in. The Lord has allowed the hedge down a little bit for his people. Because of their rebellion, because of their sin, now we see basically most of their children, a lot of their children's having to pay for it. They're having to suffer for it. And so now the little g gods has the vessels from the house of the God. Israel's under captivity. Look at verse 3. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them daily provision of the king's meat, of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name Belteshazzar, and unto Hananiah Shadrach, and to Meshach, and unto Azariah Abednego. It's amazing we call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that's not their God-given name. You say, preacher, they're just easier to say. But listen to verse 8. I say amen to that. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. May the Lord add his blessings. Now we can continue reading, but we don't have the time of how the Lord. Now about 3:30 this morning I read this chapter again. And I read chapter 2. And so in this chapter, of course, the book of Daniel is very rich. It's a very rich prophetical book. The 70th week, the day of the tribulation, all these things that God gave Daniel on into the book. But now this first chapter basically introduces us to Daniel. And Daniel is the focal point, really, of the whole book, and how God used him, and how God touched his life, and how God protected him in the midst of enemies, in the midst of danger, in the midst of idolatry, how God kept a hedge around Daniel. Folks, I don't know how bad this world's going to get, but I'm glad I'm a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm thankful no matter how much idolatry comes into this country, it doesn't matter how vile and wicked it might get, and it's going to, I'm glad I belong to Him. And I'm thankful He has a hedge around us. We don't have to run and hide. We don't have to shy down or cower down. We can still stand where we've always stood, sing what we've always sung, preach what we've always preached, live like we've always lived, because God's got us. The Lord's got us. The first chapter, again, introduces us to Daniel. In the first chapter, we learn two things about Daniel that's very simple and very clear. Number one, he was a man of character. He was a man of character. He wasn't a man of reputation. He was a man of character. You know that they're not the same. He did have a reputation back home. He did have a reputation of being a good boy. He met all the criteria of being a good boy. But now he's placed in a place where the authority he knew is not with him. So now he really has nobody to impress. He has nobody that's standing over him, watching him. I don't see where his parents came along. I don't see where a group from the church was with him. But here he is in a place now where he could have, hey, said, forget all this. But he was a man of character. It didn't matter where he was. But then he was also not only a man of character, he was a man of conviction. Now you can say, we use that word conviction too loosely. Preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, we like when we don't agree with something, I have a conviction about that. A conviction is something, according to this text, you'll die for. How do you know? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a conviction that they wasn't bowing to that image when the music played. And they said, hey, we don't care. put us in the fiery furnace.
Yeah.
That's a conviction.
Amen.
Daniel had a conviction when they said, hey, you better not pray to your God. You better pray to our God. Daniel said, I don't think so. Three times a day, he opened the windows of heaven and prayed to his God. Hey, you're going to get thrown in the den of lions. I know that. I understand that. But I have a conviction about it. And my conviction, hey, I'm not compromising that. I'm not backing up. I'll die for it. Hey, don't call something a conviction that if somebody had a gun in your head, you'd say, I'm not dying for that. Come on. You have a preference. But you don't have a conviction. Some things people say are conviction nowadays, if you would die over it, you're dumb. And I'm not talking about compromising. I have preferences. And I have some convictions. There are some things, by the grace of God, I'd die for. Well, preacher, you're talking big right now. I believe God would give us the same grace. God give us the same victory, the same peace. Are you listening to me? He'd give us the same thing. Those folks in Fox's Book of Martyrs that died at the stake, was burned, or mutilated in gladiator arenas, the same grace and the same strength he gave them, he'd give us. Denounce the name of Christ and you can live. I have a conviction about that. That's not a preference. Spit on your Bible. It's just a book. No, it ain't about what the book is. It's about who the book is.
Yeah.
I have convictions about that. I have a conviction about my eternal salvation.
Amen.
I have a conviction about the blood of Jesus being the only thing that can cleanse a sinner from their sin.
Amen.
Make sure something becomes your conviction that you really would die for it. But Daniel was a man. Even Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were men. And the Bible's silent about the rest of these. So I guess I will be as well. Because I don't know if they stood where they stood or they compromised when they got there. But I do know the Bible's pretty clear of who didn't eat the king's meat. Can I say they stood there with their character and their convictions as minorities? They were in the minority. They wasn't in the crowd. And I do know God put his hand on, especially Daniel, all of them. But hey, and God used Daniel as a mouthpiece in a wicked land. Because he knew Daniel was a man of character and a man of conviction. Daniel's environment presented him with an open door to compromise and to get carnal. Folks, you and I, we are free in Christ. And if you decide to, you can compromise and get carnal. You're not going to lose your salvation. Now hang on, I'm not giving license to sin. I'm not done with this sentence or this paragraph. But you'll live miserable out of fellowship with God. And folks, get this. I'm not talking about a bunch of man-made rules. I'm talking about just simply being faithful to God's word. I think about this year coming. And I've quoted this. I've used this illustration. I'm not going to try to do it today. But I think maybe today, and I'm just going with the Spirit of God, I think maybe today would be a good time to evaluate our own heart. Me, you, to evaluate our own heart and ask the Lord, Lord, have I drifted this year? And if so, how far? The The Hebrew writer, which we say is Paul, talked about letting things slip. And it's been an uphill battle for the church as a whole. I'm talking about not this local assembly, I'm talking about the church of the living God, the body of Christ. It's been an uphill struggle since 2020. Seemingly, people have lost their desire, their devotion. They've lost, I hate to say it, this flesh gets out of the habit of something, it quit doing it. And the church of God, the church of the living God, has slipped and we have drifted. There's people missing church now that used to be faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Hey, people used to be active in the church, had a desire and a burden to be a part of it. Now they don't want any part of being a servant to the living God. They don't want any part of that. They want their ears tickled. They want to be made feel good and want to leave. Hey, kumbaya, my Lord. All that stay. Leave out. Hey, they don't want the truth. And I have felt my own self, especially this year. The devil has run rampant in my mind. He's tried his best to discourage me. He's tried his best to get me to quit. He's tried it, and I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm not looking for a pat on the back. I'm not a martyr. Right. By any shape, form, or fashion, I've got it very well. I don't even come close to being qualified as a martyr. I don't even come close to being qualified if somebody really got it rough. I'm blessed. But the battle of the mind, and it doesn't take very much to get our attention off. We begin to slip. But I see in Daniel, also Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but I see in Daniel a man. He was a man that had the power of God in his life. He knew the purpose of God in his life, and he was a man of prayer. Folks, you realize we'll never, ever stay by the stuff, stay faithful, stay fervent if we do not have a prayer life. How do you think we get into the presence of God? A lightning bolt? I know He's always with me. I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about, I say in the presence of God. It's through His word and prayer. And the majority of the people of Israel was not in God's presence. Matter of fact, God was chastening them for not being in His presence. For not staying in His presence. But we have Daniel. We can't say, well, Daniel stood faithful because of this. Because, folks, Daniel was in a mess. Daniel was in folks, look where he's at. Not of his own choosing. That was the will of God. It was the will of God. I don't know why I'm going through this hard time. Might be the will of God. I don't know why everything's going against me. Might be the will of God. God wasn't chastening Daniel as an individual. He was chasing the nation. And he became guilty by association. But God knew he'd stay by the stuff. He knew he'd remain faithful. And there's a bunch here that I want to preach, but I'm going to try to give you what the Spirit of God gives me here this morning. It has always been God's will for His people to be in the world, but it has never been God's will for His people to be of the world. God's will, God put Daniel in the world. I don't know how sheltered he was before this. I don't know. He was of the king's lineage, and he probably had protection. But now God's put him in a place where it's just Daniel and God. Thank God somebody put something right in him. Hey, I wish the Lord called Taylor to preach, and Thomas and Kelly going through valleys and trials and situations, and I wish I could step out like when they were kids and take care of that, fix that, know somebody, pay somebody to take care of that. Do what? Hey, they in a place now. Oh, we're praying, and we with them, we for them, but this is a valley. And folks, sometime or another, if you live long enough, you'll face these days. You'll face these days, you'll face hard days, you'll face days where you feel like all you do is stay at the hospital or at the funeral home or in the bed sick or going through some turmoil, some trial. Preacher, what's happening? It may be the will of God. He may be putting you in a place where you can shine the brightest. And he can use you the most. Notice Daniel's problem. Look at verse 3 and 4. His problem was his placement. Verse 3 is among the world's people. And the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. So now he's among the world's people, and he was in the world's palace, verse 4. And he was offered the world's provisions in verse 5. Get it? Children of whom was no blemish. He goes on to say, and has the ability in them to stand in the king's palace. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank. So now here he is. Here's his problem. It's where God's put him. We can actually use Nebuchadnezzar as a type or a picture of Satan or the devil in this. Satan had a plan for Daniel. Satan's plan was to show God these boys ain't all they say they are. They've never been under pressure before. They've never been put to the test before. And the Lord saying, I'm going to show y'all something in these boys. The devil, through our trials, he's seeking to destroy. Get it? Satan in our trial is seeking to destroy our life, but God through our trial is seeking to develop our life. Get that? God's not mad at you. He don't have a personal vendetta against you. He proved that when he sent his son to die for you. If God be for us, who could be against us? What? And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He's not against you. He's not mad at you. Hey, he don't hold a grudge. He ain't going to bring it all back up. He's going to take care of you. But he's trying to develop you this morning. He has a plan to develop you more. Preacher, I'm praying that God use me this year, and you should. Preacher, I want to be more for God this year. I want to have the power of God this year more than ever, and you should. But it does not come without a trial and a test. It'll never come without a trial or test. Well, preacher, I'm going just fine, and I'm not going through anything. You dedicate your life to Christ, you might. You get faithful again, you might. Well, preacher, I don't want to go through a trial. None of us do. But God can't grow us and use us further without them. That's not his way. You know what? You know what God could have told Satan when he came And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? You know what God could have said? You just take my word for it. He won't cuss me to my face. He won't deny me. He won't back up on me. No, the Lord's inviting him. Test him. Test him. Test him. Here's what you can do. Here's what you cannot do. Test him. Oh, if you let me do this, that, and the other, if you let me take away everything he's got, he'll curse you to your face. The Lord said, go for it. The Lord said, go for it. That didn't work. Met up again. If you consider my servant Job, Lord said, the devil said, yeah, but you got that hedge. He said, I tell you what, I'll lower it some. If I touch his body, he'll curse you in your face. Lord said, go for it. You can't have his life, but you can plague his body. Go for it, Hoss. See, the Lord proves to the devil, and the Lord proves us in the trial. Yes. Folks, do you understand a lot of trials I have gone through, I've had to repent because I was diverting from what God was trying to do. I was stepping in. The only thing Daniel ever done was says, look, I don't want to defile my life with this sin. He wanted to keep his character. And he was willing to die for it. And then through all of that, God put him right where he wanted him. Old boy had a dream. He forgot the dream. It troubled him, but he forgot the whole dream. He called his boys in and said, look, I had a bad dream last night and I want y'all to interpret it. By the way, I don't remember what it was. I need y'all, soothsayers and all these magicians and all this. He said, I need y'all to tell me what the dream was. Tell me the interpretation of it. He said, if not, I'm killing all of you. And they say, whoa, man, whoa, king, whoa, ho, ho, time out. You've asked us something impossible. And he had. Man could not do that. No matter how intelligent, man couldn't do that. And about the time he's about to send him out to be killed, Daniel got wind of he's in that crowd. He said, whoa, whoa. He said, tell him, wait a minute. I'm going to go to the one that knows the dream. The one that can, the one. One. Hey, listen to me. If you go to astrologers, palm readers. Huh? I mean, if you had to work hard for a living, your calluses throw them off. If you cut your hand, what are they going to do with that? Veer off? Preacher, you shouldn't talk like that. Elijah did. Your God asleep? Is he out for the day? And then prophets of Baal cutting themselves, tying down the altar, acting crazy. And their little G gods didn't. Hey, they didn't even exist, only in their mind. And they could do nothing. Elijah stepped up and prayed a simple little prayer. 63 words, and the fire of God fell. Consumed the sacrifice, licked up the water. Hey, there's only one. There's only one. Can I tell you this? There's only one. There's just one. Daniel knew it. He said, I'm going to go talk to him. Hey, you know what he said? Hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we got to pray, boys. Y'all go pray. And God gave it to him. Here, all he done, he got put in the smack dab middle of the world. And he stood faithful, not arrogant, didn't go out looking for trouble, didn't go out mean, but he said, hey, fellas, please don't make me defile myself with this mess. I don't want the king's meat, I don't want the king's liquor.
Everybody listening to me?
Amen.
Wine's a mocker, strong drink is raging. He that deceives not wise thereby. Ain't nothing to take a little drink. It's, hey, I know very little people that can just take a little one.
That's right.
But we ain't going to argue about that. That's not my message. And by the way, you're not going to change my mind about it after the service, and I'm not looking to change yours. I'm just praying for you. Pray for me if I'm wrong. Pray God send me something. He said, I do not want to defile myself with that. The only thing he wanted wasn't special treatment as far as himself being lifted up. He said, I just want to live right here. I just want to be right here. I don't want to defile myself with this ungodliness. I don't want to identify with it. I'm here because God put me here. But he don't want me to sin with folks. Jesus ate with sinners, but he didn't sin with them. And if you get around sinners and if you can't handle it, don't even eat with them. We're not Jesus. Here comes a time of detrimental fear upon these ungodly people. The king, if we don't tell him what the dream was, they said, tell us the dream, we'll give you interpretation. They couldn't have done it. They'd have made something up. Because how do you know? Because it was a spiritual dream.
Right.
You got to have the Holy Ghost to understand spiritual things.
Yeah.
Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. If it had told them what it was, they'd have made something out of left field because they would have missed it. But God had a man. God had a man for the hour. Folks, God has you in a place for a specific time. In a specific place around a specific people. I read this, and I'm getting off on it. My mind's going. I read this, and I'm probably not going to say it right. But how a sobering thought. Christians, listen to this. And I'm going to try to give you the gist of it. I can't remember who said it. But man's eternity could depend on our obedience. Where a man spends eternity could depend on our obedience to give him the gospel. Daniel's obedience to God in the midst of all this. Man. And he walked up and said, oh, king, and gave him the dream of the image. We know that image, gold head, silver, brass, you know, clay, you know, iron clay. All that represents Gentile world empires that getting weaker as the days go. See, the Gentiles are in charge right now, but you notice we're getting weaker as the day goes. God has set that up to try to get his people to turn back to him, and they are during the tribulation. But he said, there's your dream. He said, here's what it means. All he done was let God use him. Wasn't afraid for God to use him. Wasn't afraid to stand on his conviction. Kept his life separated, kept his life clean, and God promoted him in the midst of heathen. Isn't that something? The Lord promoted him in the midst of heathen. Now, folks, we understand as time goes on, they begin to hate Daniel. They tried to set him up. That's what got him in the den of lions. Hey, be careful trying to set people up. That's another message if I had 3 points. Be careful trying to set people up for falls. Lying on them. Bad mouthing them. Being ugly to them. Because you may be the one getting eaten by a lion. Whew. That hit different in my heart this morning. Lord, help me. Be careful. Daniel's problem Satan had a purpose, but God had a plan. Satan wanted to destroy, but God wanted to develop. And no matter what the king, no matter what the men under him, no matter what the devil tried to do, they could not stop God from using him. Threatening with death, lied on him, all this stuff. But God exalted him. This man humbled himself, and in due season, God exalted him. And God used him in a mighty way. Folks, I've not even got to my message, but I did what I did get into first point. But as we're looking at the end of a year, come on, Court. As we're looking at the end of a year, as you search your heart, and I'm searching mine, and I'm already saying, oh me, have we slipped? Have we slipped? Have we dropped biblical things that we know are supposed to be in our lives and allowed other things? Folks, can I say something to you? You can give every excuse in the book, but God will never direct you to walk farther away from Him. He'll never lead you away from His house. He'll never lead you away from being faithful. He'll never lead you away from that. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, His righteousness, and all these other stuff will be added to you. It'll all be added to you. Have you slipped? You know what? I see this coming year. It's a good thing, it's a threshold to start fresh again. But folks, the Lord's mercies are new every day. You can start fresh every day. You can start fresh today. And as Daniel had a purpose, and he purposed in his heart, we've got to get that, not temporarily, but every day of our life. We've got to have a prayer life. We've got to have a Bible life. Hey, folks, I've been reading a book on disciplines of a godly man. I've been reading different things about temperance. And man, have I fallen short. God's been working on me with that. Because we have a good feeling service, and it stick that'll stick away. Folks, if you already purposed, it don't matter if the service is high or low. You're gonna live for God. Folks, I hope whether you get that, and I say this for lack of a word, whether you get that feeling in the service or not determines whether or not you're gonna live for the Lord. You know, and folks, I have preachers that I love to hear, and you have preachers you love to hear. They just feed you, and you connect. I got it. But if you go to the churches Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, where they pastor and they have to shear sheep, and that's what they have to do 2/3 of the time, you're going to say, he ain't the same man. He's not a hypocrite, but he's shepherding sheep at his place. Brother Tommy, you preachers know, when you go somewhere else, it's different. It's different. Then God has to work on God's men. God works in our heart. Where are you? If you have slipped or drifted, the last Sunday of the year is a time to begin to draw nigh to God again. Let's all stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, the altar's open.